All right. Welcome in. Toilets to Titles, episode number 88. This is the preview for week 4 of the NFL season and of the fantasy football season. With me this evening, my guy, Master Roshi himself, Justin Stevens, at Justin FF underscore Justin. What is cooking?
Not a lot. So I'm kind of getting tired of losing this damn game of the week because you keep picking characters that I have no idea what they are, but we're going to try to play this game again. So I only looked at pictures. So all I know is that Master Roshi is a tiny, feeble old man that has zero shits to give. And then he has this superhero power where he just becomes this Hulk-like badass behind me. So yeah. I don't know if you want me to get in that kind of character, because I'm either a grumpy old man or I'm like
Hulk. He's not grumpy, man. He's happy-go-lucky. He's perverse. He's a perverted old man.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But he's also a teacher. if you are new to the show, we are doing a game this season. Me, Justin, and Nate are picking the game of the week. And at the end of every week, we are checking the point differential. And whoever's game of the week had the smallest margin between winner and loser, they're the winner of the week. And the person who had the biggest margin is the loser. And Justin's lost the last. I think he's lost since the season started, but I won last week. And so the winner gets to. So if you're watching live on YouTube, you can see it says like my Twitter handle below my picture. So the winner gets to choose what the loser is called during the episode. It's kind of a dumb game that we're playing, but it's fun to us. And last week I chose the Three-Eyed Raven for Justin because I knew he doesn't watch Game of Thrones and I knew he'd have no idea what I was talking about. And then this week I chose Master Roshi. I did not win this week, but Nate's not here. So I stepped up and I said, if he's not here, I'm going to have some fun in his absence. So there's Three-Eyed Raven's back. Be careful. He's back. All right. Anyway, you can follow me on the Twitter at Coach Sheps, at Coach S-C-H-E-P-P-S. Justin is at Justin FF underscore. Nate, who is not here this evening, is at Nate underscore Dirt 19. And the show is on the Twitter at Toilets to Titles. Before we go any further, I feel it is very important to discuss a huge loss that has hit the fantasy football community. You know, not just the fantasy football community, you know, like this has affected families, you know, in our community. And it is a loss of Mike Tagliere. He's somebody that, you know, he works for Fantasy Pros. You know, I'm not super familiar with his work, but I know a lot of people who are, and a lot of people who speak very highly of him. And it was clear that he was a great dude. It was clear that he was an important figure, you know, in this community. We're all over here, you know, starting up things. We're starting up podcasts, starting up websites, writing articles. And this is a guy who not only has been doing this and putting out content, but he was willing to help others. And it's just clear and evident that it's left a big hole in this community, you know, and there are a lot of people who are, you know, shaken over this. And we do want to let everybody know, the families, you know, the friends of Mike Tagliere, we are thinking about you. You know, the guys at Toilets to Titles, we are here. Our thoughts are with you. Our prayers are with you. And, you know, we're going to get through this loss together. And, you know, this is, you know, Justin used to sign off on every episode, you know, just love each other. That was how we'd sign off every episode. And I feel like maybe we need to get back to that because we're losing people left and right. Another big guy we lost, you know, in this past year, James the Brain. Like, James was a guy that I wasn't super close with, but we wrote for Dynasty Football Factory. He had been on my podcast. I had been on his podcast. Like, we had played in fantasy leagues together. So, you know, I was close in that aspect. Like, you know, we're not in the real world hanging out with each other on a daily basis, but these interactions are starting to become a little more impactful than our real world interactions, because some of us spend a lot of time talking to, you know, it's because we have similar interests and it's easy to get close to people that have similar interests, right? And we are finding that, you know, through social media. And James was the guy we lost, and now we lost Mike. And I'm sure there's tons of others out there. So there's a lot of people, you know, grieving right now. And we are thinking about you. And like I said, we will get through this together. Justin, you have anything? I know you said some words on your waiver wire episode that went to the Patreon members last night, but I wanted to give you a chance. You had anything to piggyback off of that?
Yeah, I just, So obviously we all know what Fantasy Pros is, right? I mean, it's huge. It's a huge ordeal. They started from the ground up and they built something amazing. Just like you said, he's worked hard for the last half a decade or more, probably more, to build up what he's built up. And I found this quote from Cesar Chavez that says, true wealth is not measured in money or status or power. It is measured in the legacy we leave behind for those we love and those we inspire. If you look at the GoFundMe, the last time I checked, and this is primarily all from the fantasy football community, it was over $400,000 raised for his family in the GoFundMe. So there's no way in hell that that kind of money gets raised in any industry by any group of people unless you've inspired other people to do great things. So yeah, a huge name in the industry, but more important than that, I think a pretty huge legacy being left behind. So we wish all the best of luck to everybody over at Fantasy Pros as they try to, you know, gather up everything and try to. I'm sure they're going to try to move on without him, and that's going to be tough for them because he did so much for them. And like I said, I mean, I said on the waiver wire episode last night that even though I never had any personal contact with him, like direct contact, I did see a few shows that he was a guest on. Very happy-go-lucky kind of guy. So definitely going to be missed for sure.
Definitely. All right. So with that, we're going to continue on with our week 4 preview. For everybody who is listening to the show, I want to let everybody know where they can find us. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on YouTube. We're on Podbean. We're on Facebook. We have 2 Facebook pages, Toilets and Titles and When a Family Breaks, and we are on Spotify. If you are listening to us through podcast form, it would be greatly appreciated if you went to our YouTube page. You know, you can look us up on their Toilets and Titles. You can find it in our show notes, or you can find a link to it if you follow us on the Twitter at Toilets and Titles. Subscribe to our show. First off, we'd like it because then you could tune in live when we're here. You could throw some comments because we always got guys in the comments throwing us questions. Start sit questions can go right into the comments. As I speak, we get a comment. Oh, it's Rich. Rich is listening. Rich is always listening, man. So he's listening in because he wants to hear if I'm going to talk badly about the Raiders this week. And Rich, he knows that I called Derek Carr a dud this week. And he sent me his stat line at the end of the game. And he's like, that's dude numbers. And Rich, I looked up his numbers. He was like quarterback 15 for the week. So I don't think those are dude numbers. I think we're somewhere in the middle there. So maybe you overhyped him. I undersold him. But anyway, back to YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Come and join us for our weekly episodes. We have like 8 episodes a week. At the end of the episode here tonight, I'll let you know all the different stuff we have. We have Dollars to Deuces betting on Wednesday night. We got Joe Knows Wednesdays. We got Saturday, we got Toilets Titles DUD. Thursday night, we got DFS episodes. Sunday morning, we got an NFL review or preview, college football review. Then we got the Blitz where it's a call-in show. So we got all this content, and all we're missing is you. Come and join us. Let's work together. Let's help you win some fantasy football championships. Let's have a fun time talking about it. Also, if you have Apple Podcasts, it would be greatly appreciated if you threw us a 5-star review. And go check out toiletsatitles.com. Week in and week out, we got tons of articles. We have a recap that Mike Jernigan's doing every week, recapping every single game. We have 2 start and sit articles, one by Alex. We got the DFS lineups thrown in article form. So all sorts of stuff is on there. So go to toiletsatitles.com. All right, let's start with the news. Justin, why don't you read off some of these news topics here? Let's get into some discussion.
All right. All right, so the first that we have up here. Sorry, I was trying to mess with the
Marlon tab. Mack, man. Marlon Mack is seeking a trade.
Yes.
The team has agreed to trade him, so I think he hasn't seen many touches. And not for nothing, Nyheim Hines looks quick as hell. I wanted to say the S word, but I didn't because we don't really curse on this show. So he doesn't look quick as S. He looks quick as hell. And Marlon Mack could look like a different player because he might be in a different uniform.
Yeah, honestly, I hope it happens. I hope he's able to get a trade. I hope he's able to find a home that suits him well. But unfortunately, every time that he has had, I think he's only had like 2 or 3 touches. But even in the preseason, he looked like a shell of himself. He looked like a man that was trying to come off of an Achilles injury. I mean, he honestly just does not look like the same Marlon Mack. So if he thinks he still has it and he thinks he still has a chance to prove something, then hopefully they can ship him on his way and give him that opportunity, because we do love Marlon Mack in Indianapolis. So we appreciate the couple great seasons that he gave us. So we definitely hope for the best for him.
USF, great. University of South Florida, that's where Marlon Mack went. Thought he was going to be phenomenal in the NFL, and it just never totally panned out. All right, another running back, James White, is out indefinitely with a hip injury. I did three DFS lineups this week. I cashed in one of them. I came really close in the second, and the third, not so much. But James White I had in two of my lineups, and, man, when he went down, it crushed me because I was doing very well in all three of my lineups, and then that just hole right there, you know, was tough because he had pretty good numbers the week prior. He looked like he was really becoming the thing. You know, he's always been like a solid flex play, in my opinion, on like a weekly basis in PPR. He's good for like 10 points a week. And he was starting to come on a little stronger than that. He was looking like a running back two option. And now he's out. So Damian Harris, are we going to see Ramondre Stevenson? What are your thoughts, Justin?
I think we'll see Ramondre a little bit. Obviously, Damian Harris has proven that he can shoulder the load. But I have a lot of Ramondre Stevenson, and in the offseason, I kept saying he was going to become a household name. And just this week, I had finally decided that if he didn't do anything this week, which I believe he was a healthy scratch again, I was going to give up and drop him. So, because I was wondering why he wasn't getting any kind of opportunity. Now it looks like he'll probably get an opportunity and we'll finally get to see. So I've held on to him for 3 weeks. I may as well hold on to him for one more and see if he gets any kind of carries or looks.
All right, the next one, A.J. Brown, he has a hamstring injury, and he's week to week. Are we panicking on A.J. Brown yet? Because I was expecting, I think on our rankings over at FusionFFB.com, I had A.J. Brown like top three wide receivers in redraft this season. And he has not, and I've drafted him that high. So I know a lot of people that are smart, and they draft based upon ADP. Like, I don't know if I would say that's smart. Because then I get burned. When I try to draft based on ADP, I get burned. So you know what? I'm taking that back. But I draft based upon my rankings. How I like a player, if that's where I have him in my rankings, that's where I'm taking him because I don't want to get burnt. Because all it takes is one other person to have a similar opinion for that player not to come back to you. And then I'm kicking myself in the behind. And that doesn't feel all that good because it's really hard to do that. So A.J. Brown, hamstring injury. He's week to week. How do you feel about this? And are you panicking?
I'm not panicking just yet, mostly because in Dynasty, the way I view it is we already know that he's a great talent. We know that he's a very talented wide receiver. He's going to be an all-pro most seasons. He's having a down year. He's having some injury issues. He's having a Julio Jones problem right now. And I tried to tell you guys in the offseason that he's going to have a Ryan Tannehill problem if they don't run. They're finally starting to get that run game back. I kind of feel like this injury held him up a bit, but I got a good strong feeling that later on the season he's going to bounce back once he's healthy and they keep running the ball more. But even if not, you can't panic and sell him right now because you're selling him at a very low point. So you got to hold on and wait and see what happens. And then in redraft, I'm not sweating it because I don't own him because I don't draft wide receivers very often in the first three rounds. So I'm not really sweating it at all.
Well, when you panic, you don't necessarily sell because you don't trade. So
yeah, you're right. I don't.
So you panic.
If I own AJ Brown, I will ride that name on my lineup until he was buried in the ground. That's for sure.
Oh, that's dark. It just got dark. All right, KJ Hamler tore his ACL. Season's over. Tim Patrick has looked like, if you were able to pick him up, I think Justin talked about him on our Patreon.com waiver wire weekly episode Monday nights. Like a week or two ago, like you should have got on the Tim Patrick train because that ship has sailed. Before we talk about KJ Hamler, I do want to say there's someone in the chat, the second take extra, not sure who this is, but he's got a question. All right. So I'm sorry, I'm derailing this real quickly. In the Superflex League, he traded away Derek Carr and James Robinson and got Jonathan Taylor and Darius Slayton. My quarterbacks right now are Mahomes, Herbert, and the Washington football team quarterback. So I'm guessing he gets the team. So he's got Heinicke right now. How do you feel about that? He traded away Carr and James Robinson. I think Jonathan Taylor is a better player than James Robinson. Okay. But here's the deal. You have Mahomes and Herbert. If you needed that upgrade at running back, I think it's okay. I think you overpaid a little bit. But I think in your situation, it's okay to overpay. You don't always have to get equal value. because it helps your team a lot. Your team looks a lot better with Jonathan Taylor than it does with Derek Carr and James Robinson. Because Derek Carr, you're going to have a tough time deciding who am I going to start weekly. Now you don't have to worry about that. You got Mahomes and Herbert. You let that ride. And you got Jonathan Taylor. Because you know what? James Robinson's, he's good. But Jonathan Taylor's great. All right. And good is the enemy of great. Do you want to sit there with a good guy in your lineup, or do you want to go get somebody who's great? Let's upgrade. Justin, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree completely. Unless Coach Urban decides to go to USC and they get a coach in there in Jacksonville that actually understands that J-Rob is really the only option that they should be using 100% of the time. But that's not going to happen. So yeah, this helps your starting lineup, so you have to do it. I'm not a huge Slayton guy, or at least I wasn't a huge Slayton guy before the season started. But if you really watch the game film and you really watch him play, he's being utilized a lot. He's barely been missed on a couple of big plays. One of them, a touchdown that barely missed that would have before this week made him a mid wide receiver too. And then of course with the injury early this week, he's going to slide back there, but I think by the end of the season he'll start to bounce back too, and that team's always down. Not a bad trade at all. Just like you said, it's okay to take a hit at a position that you're great at to help your starting lineup.
Yeah, he said he'll have Najee Harris and Jonathan Taylor, so I'm happy with that. Your team is solid. Speaking of Giants wide receivers, I don't want to go too far off on a tangent, but there's surprisingly a lot of mouths to feed there, right? Like Slayton, Galladay, Shepard's emerging. You know, Evan Ingram looked okay. Now Colin Johnson, who we're going to talk about later. Like there's a little bit of a plethora of wide receivers there. And then now staying with the Giants, you mentioned USC. I had this thought today. If the Giants clean house of coaching staff, you know, Jason Garrett, everyone's kind of blaming him for the play calling. This is Giants ownership. Whoever hired him, he called the plays at times for the Dallas Cowboys. But when the Cowboys were good under Jason Garrett, he was a team manager. Romo called the plays, and Scott Linehan helped him. It wasn't Garrett. It had nothing to do with Garrett. I think Garrett is a good manager of men. You know, I would like to see Jason Garrett at the college level. You know, if you said USC, forget Urban Meyer. I'd like to see how Jason Garrett, because he's good with, you know, I don't know, man. Some of the players for the Cowboys would have ran through a wall for him. I liked the Jason Garrett years, even though we never, you know, fully took it all the way. But all right, KJ Hamler, you have any thoughts other than the rise of Tim Patrick?
No, not exactly. No.
All right, Blake Martinez tore his ACL. This is IDP news. Season over. Just kind of throwing more dirt on the New York Giants after losing to the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know how you manage that. I threw money on the Giants this week, man, and they let me down. The Chiefs signed Josh Gordon. I'm so over Josh Gordon. You know, like, all right, I like comeback stories. You know, I get it. Somebody struggles with inner demons, has to fight through them. You know, I love the Phoenix, you know, rising from the ashes. Excellent. But at this point with Josh Gordon, I've seen this film, you know, 5 or 6 times. You know, if he does great, so be it. If he doesn't do well, so be it. I'm not hoping that he does bad. I just don't care. And I'm not putting in any claims for him. What are your thoughts?
I agree 100%. And on top of that, he's been out of football for so long. Like, even when he's came back, it's barely been long enough to get a good stretch and a warm up in. Like, he's been out of football too long. There's too many wide receivers in that offense already. And I mean, sure, if he's going to have big boom plays here and there, it's going to be with a guy like Pat Mahomes at quarterback. But that's assuming he ever even makes it to the active roster. So, and even then, like you said, it's just going to be a boom play here and there. Definitely not anybody worth rostering. But at the same time, as far as talent goes, I do absolutely still miss what we got to see that short period he was playing. Mm-hmm. So if he does get on the field, my eyes will be glued.
DeSean Jackson or Josh Gordon right now? Who would you rather line up, roster in your lineup?
Jackson, no-brainer.
Because I think that's what he's going to be to the Chiefs, what DeSean Jackson is to the Rams. You know, he's not weapon one, weapon two, or weapon three. He's the fourth option. They're going to take a few shots. You know what? I don't think the Chiefs have the depth at receiver the Rams do, so they might try to force him into a bigger role, but I think that's probably what's ideal for him. You know what I would like to see? When it all is said and done, you know, 15 years down the road, the 30 for 30 on Josh Gordon, you know, if they could really tell us, you know, what was going on with this guy. Because I do hope the Josh Gordon, the person, finds peace, because where whatever he's going through or has been through that's causing him to, you know, run away because that's what when you're putting substances in your body, you're self-medicating. When you're doing it the way he's doing it, right? Like a normal person can drink, or you know, some people can smoke, whatever. I don't want to get too big into this, but they can do that at like a regular person and go to work and not think about it. But somebody like him, who can't stop even when it's hurting his job, you know, there's something deeper going on. So I hope he finds peace, and then I want to hear what the hell he went through. All right, Christian McCaffrey, he's not going on the IR. Good news for fantasy owners in the Panthers. I took him first overall. I have him in two leagues. I took him first overall in one. And by the way, I had a terrible week in fantasy this season. This week, to be 100% transparent, I got 10 leagues and I went like 3-7. So the Cowboys won. So I'm feeling all right. In two of those leagues, I got Christian McCaffrey. I ended up winning one of those because Dak and Josh Allen carried me. And then the other one I lost. So what are your thoughts on Christian McCaffrey going on, not going on the IR?
The initial thought or the initial reports were like 2 to 4 weeks, possibly. And then if you go on IR, you have to be out for at least 3 weeks. So not going on IR means that there's at least a chance that he could be back before the third week out. So yeah, if you're a CMC owner, you certainly are going to be glued to the news for sure.
All right. The Lions release Jamie Collins. So that's some more IDP news. Do you want to let everybody know? This Monday night, I wish I would have came prepared. Somebody on Twitter was saying if CeeDee Lamb got him 27 points, half PPR, he was going to buy somebody a CeeDee Lamb jersey, and it got a bunch of traffic. And I was like, you know what? I need 23 from CeeDee Lamb. If he gets me 23 points, I'll buy somebody who likes this tweeted jersey. And unfortunately, it didn't happen. I got a bunch of likes. And you know what? I felt like giving. So go follow me at Coach Sheps. Go follow the show at Toilets of Titles and find the tweet that I tweeted. And I said next week. So I'm giving everybody all week to like this tweet. As long as you follow Toilets of Titles, follow Coach Sheps, hit the like button on this specific tweet. You got to go find it. It says, you know, that unfortunately no CeeDee Lamb jersey was given away, but I'm carrying on trying to get it. I'm trying to give somebody something this week. If Keenan Allen hits 25 points, not half PPR, full PPR, if Keenan Allen hits 25 points, we will randomly select next Tuesday. So he's playing Monday night. You have till Monday. We will randomly select one. We'll put like all the people who liked it. We'll throw them in a list. We'll randomly generate it. And we will pick somebody to give a Keenan Allen jersey away to for free. All right, for free. If he hits 25 points. I'm not saying the likelihood of this, but it could happen. Because he's a stud. You know, what is that? That's like, let's say he gets 8 receptions, 110 yards and a touchdown, right? That's 25 PPR points right there. That's what you need. 8 receptions, 110 yards, or
that's 4 receptions.
Man. Yeah, thank you. 4 receptions, 90 yards, 2 touchdowns, you know, whatever. So we're that's 26, but still close enough. All right, everybody, go check out. No, man, I got the beautiful mind, man. All right, patreon.com/toiletsoftitles. Tier 1 is $3 a month. It gets you into our group chat on Discord where we have all the members of Toilets of Titles. We are available 24/7. All the Patreon members are in there. We're talking about trades, everything, all the time. We're just talking fantasy football starts, sits throughout the week. Like, we don't wait till we're just on the blitz Sunday morning where you can reach out to us. No, you can reach out to us right now. Hey, this dude sent me a trade offer. What do you guys think? And you'll hear all of it. That's only $3 a month, and it supports the show. So we appreciate it if we could talk with you in there. And also, we'd appreciate it if you supported the show. Tier 2 is $5 a month. It gets you access to Justin's waiver wire episodes that he releases every Monday night, immediately after Monday Night Football, that all of us from Toilets Titles, we help him. We tell him, hey, this guy should be picked up. This guy should be picked up. We got a kind of like a little doc where we write all that in. He reads it off, and he gives his instant analysis on all the guys we say you should be claiming. Also gets you into that chat. Gets you into Frankenstank, our listener league, next year. Tier 3 is $10 per month. It gets you all that. It gets you one-on-one roster analysis from anybody at Toilets of Titles. And instead of just a regular entry into Frankenstank, it gets you free entry into Frankenstank next year, which is a $25 value. With all that now, let's move on to the Game of the Week segment. So, Justin, why don't you run us through last week's results?
All right. So, last week, We already talked about it at the start of the show, and I already lost again. So last week, Nate had chosen the Chargers at the Chiefs. That was a 6-point differential, bringing him to a 13-point differential total on the season. So he won for the week. Let's see, Coach, you had Tampa Bay and the Rams. That was a 10-point differential, bringing you to 17 points overall on the season. And I chose the Seahawks and the Vikings. I honestly thought that the Seahawks were going to win that game, and I felt that it was going to be a pretty close game. And I was wrong on both accounts. The Vikings won by 13, bringing my total for the season to 24. So I've got a big hole to try to climb out of here. But overall, I'm still enjoying this. I'm still having a lot of fun.
All right, well, you got a big hole to climb out of, so why don't you tell me about the game you're looking forward to this week? What is Justin's game of the week for this week?
The Cardinals and the Rams. So two high-flying, high-powered offenses. So this is going to be a lot of fun to see Kyler Murray and Matthew Stafford battling head-to-head, and a couple of defenses that are pretty decent defenses but definitely exploitable. I know the Cardinals started off hot on defense in week one, but since then they've kind of slipped. The Rams, kind of the same way. The Rams have kind of been underperforming compared to what most people thought they were going to perform on defense. So it may not be a whole lot of defense in this game. And both of these teams know how to get creative with their play calls, and they know how to use their weapons. So it's going to be an exciting game to watch.
Man, there's going to be some fun ones this week. Then we also have the 49ers and the Seahawks. So that the NFC West, like, they're going to go at it this week with, between the Cardinals and the Rams and the 49ers and the Seahawks, and we get to benefit because we get to watch it. It's going to be some great – it's going to be some playoff football in October. It's crazy to say it's already October, man. I know today it isn't, but when the games go on this week, it's going to be October, and that's absolutely phenomenal because it's a great time of year. Go ahead.
How great are the games going to be whenever none of the three of us even chose Tampa Bay at New England?
Yeah.
Tom Brady going back to New England.
Right.
None of us chose that game because I think realistically we know it's not going to be that great of a game. But
aren't we kind of over that too, though?
What do you mean?
I'm kind of over Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Well, I've been over Tom Brady and the Patriots for about 20 freaking years now.
Right. So. I like what they're doing, Tampa, and you know I like Mac Jones, and you know, good for them. But it's going to be a good game. But you know, if it's not on the red zone, I ain't watching it. Am I like Scrooge? Am I Bahumbug?
No, I agree. I agree.
Completely. Am I Bahumbugging, you know, the Tampa Bay New England game?
Not at all. Not at all. I get it. I understand. I feel you. But it is a big media game. So it's going to be played out all over the place. And when you are watching Red Zone, they're going to be talking about it profusely right before the game start and during the game. And they're going to be talking about all the records that Tom Brady is breaking at his old Gillette Stadium. And it's going to get annoying, just like it is every week that we see Tom Brady on television.
Bah humbug. Go Cowboys. All right. My game of the week, I have the Las Vegas Raiders at the LA Chargers. I think this week you're really going to find out who the Raiders are. I think the teams the Raiders have played this season stink. I don't think the Steelers are any good. I think that the Bills just played us. Yeah, I think the Steelers.
Where stink. You at, Rich?
Well, no, I'm not saying the Raiders stink. I say I don't think they've played anybody yet. And I think after this week, we're going to know. You know, if the Raiders come in and they take it to the Chargers, the Raiders are for real. Like, they are for real. I'm buying it. You know, I'm in. You know, because the Chargers are a very good team. They played Dallas very well. They beat Kansas City. Like, this is a legit team. And also, this is a division opponent, you know. So I think we get to see, you said Cardinals, Rams, division, Raiders, Chargers. This is going to be a great game. Carr and Herbert, you know, I'm just very excited to watch this one. And I think Monday Night Football, we're going to get to see it. Andrew quoted me. I didn't say the Raiders stink. You're putting words in my mouth. The Steelers stink. The Pittsburgh Steelers stink. Like, they're unwatchable. I can't watch the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's terrible watching Ben Roethlisberger float around in that backfield trying to get the ball downfield. Like, every time it looks like such a – what are those things called when –
Sloth?
No. What are those things called where, like, a marble rolls down and it hits, like, dominoes and then it makes something happen and it's like –
Like a Rube Goldberg or something like that?
Yeah. Like, it looks like in order for Ben Roethlisberger, when his brain's trying to tell his body – you know, to get the ball out and get it downfield. I just imagine, like, the process going from his brain to his muscles is a Rube Goldberg because it just looks like it's such a struggle. Yeah. Like, he just can't do it anymore. All right. So Nate is saying his game of the week is the Ravens at the Denver Broncos. I don't think, you know, the Denver Broncos, like the Raiders, I don't think they've played anybody yet. And the Ravens, they barely squeaked by the Lions. So this is a game, you know, who do you think is going to win this game, Justin?
The Ravens. The Ravens. I'm going to get into the Broncos a little bit later in the show. Right. But, cool. Definitely the Ravens.
Man, we need a moderator. Is that what it's called? Like the person who watches the chat and tries to keep it civil because, man, Rich and Campy are going at it right now. All right. Rich just said Campy stinks. Not cool. You know, Campy is going to black Rich out from the website, I think, if he keeps saying that stuff.
I'll get Campy said,
Campy says, I disagree with the coach, Rich. I'm very impressed with the Raiders Nation. I didn't say nothing about whether I'm impressed with them or not. I just said they haven't beat anybody.
Everybody's against you, John. We're back to normal.
Yeah, true. I guess I wouldn't have it any other way, huh? You know, that's, man, I like being the villain. Like, lay it on me. Last year, I was the only guy talking down on Miles Sanders. And last I checked, he had 3 carries last night. So Miles Sanders stinks. It doesn't stink. It's just a bad situation. All right, locks of the week before I dig myself in any deeper holes. Nate isn't here this evening, but Nate was hot last week, man. You know why Nate's not here? Because he's probably out on a boat somewhere, like, you know, in Europe. Somewhere like just eating clams with his old lady and his son just chilling because he was hot last week. He had the Cardinals with -7.5 at the Jags. He hit that. He had the Chargers +6.5 at the Chiefs. He hit that. He was very close to nailing all 3. He had the Raiders -3.5 versus the Dolphins. And the Raiders only won by 3. All right. Week 4, though, his picks are Colts +2.5 at the Dolphins. It's a get right game for Indy, man. I'm going to talk about this later, too. The Dolphins, man, what the hell happened to them? Dolphins and the Washington football team, I thought both of those teams, I thought their defenses were going to be legit, and they don't look good. They look like bad football teams right now, and I'm shocked. The Dolphins have secondary for days. The Dolphins, they should go ahead and trade Xavier Howard because they could get a lot for him, and it's not doing nothing for them. They're not winning games with him. They should go ahead and just get rid of him, stock up elsewhere. Get linemen or whatever to protect your quarterback because you couldn't do that. Now you're dealing with Jacoby Brissett. Anyway, he's got the Browns -2.5 at the Vikings. It's going to be a fun game. And he's got the Lions +3 at the Bears. Open quarterback competition in Chicago this week. Fields can't get sacked 9 times again, or can he? So I don't know if it's going to be Foles, Dalton, Fields. I thought the Bears were going to make it tough on Cleveland last week, and boy, was I wrong. He's also got one more, man. So he's got 1, 2, 3. He's got 4 games for us this week, guys. So we, too, can go rent out a yacht and party if we make some bets like Nate's doing. All right, Broncos -1 versus the Ravens. Let's see if Theodore Two Gloves, which is Teddy Two Gloves, and the Broncos defense is the real deal. Any thoughts on these bets, Justin?
Not necessarily so much the bets, because, you know, I'm not really a betting guy when it comes to the lines and the point spreads and stuff, but I do want to comment about how Brissett is kind of starting to make me look extremely wrong about everything I said about him while he was in Indy. So I'm not really liking what I'm seeing out of Brissett. So as long as he's the quarterback there, you're going to continue to see bad football from the Dolphins. And not that it looked great with Tua, but at least they could move the ball a little bit.
They miss Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
You know what? If you miss Fitzpatrick, there's a guy named Gardner Minshew who's Ryan Fitzpatrick light, who's out there in Philadelphia. And they won't even allow him on the field. So Miami, go ahead. Go call up Philly. Go call up Sirianni. Ask for Gardner Minshew and have an open competition between him and Brissett. And let's have some fun down there. All right, dudes and duds, my starts and sits for the week. Josie Jenkins, what a great name. There's a dude in our chat whose name is Josie Jenkins. And I want to say
– I went to school with him.
Josie Jenkins, great name.
Yeah.
If we had a Hall of Fame of people who've been in the chat during our episodes based upon names alone, one of them would be like when the Facebook user pops up and we don't know who it is. That would be up there just because it's mystery. And mystery is intriguing. I think it's great radio. And it also makes it fun for me because I don't know who this person is. Just as Facebook user, it could be anybody. They'd be on the Hall of Fame. Josie Jenkins would be up there as well. Justin's your guy. Justin's his guy. Justin's my guy as well, Josie Jenkins. So thanks for coming in. I just like saying your name. Great. Excellent. All right. Dudes and Duds, you'll find on Toyota Titles. It'll release Wednesday around noon. So if you hear this stuff, you don't have to remember it all. You can listen and take it in. And then you can go to toiletstotitles.com on Wednesday and read it. My breakdown completely on there. So I got you. I'm doing double time. Dudes and Duds for week number four. Quarterbacks, Joe Burrow as a dude versus Jacksonville. Joey Burrow had 3 passing touchdowns in week 3 and has 7 total so far this season. He's yet to top 300 passing yards in a game, and I think he'll do it this week versus the Jaguars. The Jaguars allowed Teddy B to hit 300 passing yards in week 2, and Tyrod Taylor got damn near close with 291 passing yards in week 1. So Joey Burrow's about to cook. Next, Justin Herbert versus the Las Vegas Raiders. Rich isn't going to like to hear that. On Monday nights, the stars shine brightest. After a huge win in which Justin Herbert produced the clutch performance, I expect a monster outing this week. All right, what did Campy say? Justin is my guy. Looks like I'm removing Josie from the chat. Uh-oh. We need a moderator to take care of this stuff. It's getting crazy in there. All right, my next start for the week, Jonathan Taylor at Miami. Peyton Barber just gassed the Dolphins for 111 yards on the ground in week 3. Jonathan Taylor has been scratching the surface, but has yet to have a signature breakout performance in year 2. This is the week. So start him up. The dude in this chat who just traded for Jonathan Taylor, you got him at the right time because he is going to jump on the scene this week. Next, Clyde Edwards-Helaire at Philadelphia. The Cowboys absolutely gashed the Eagles on the ground in week 3. Not only did the boys run all over them, they kept that defense on the field and absolutely wore them out. So the front 7 of Philadelphia got wore out. They're tired this week. They're hurt. They're probably getting ice baths every day after practice. I mean, if they didn't already do that. I doubt that defensive front 7 recovers in time to be fully ready to take on the Chiefs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire top 100 in week 3, and I expect them to do it again in week 4. Next, Odell Beckham Jr. at Minnesota. Beckham had 5 receptions on 9 targets last week in his first action with Baker Mayfield in quite some time. With Landry out, Beckham is forced to step up and be the focal point of that passing attack. This one should be a high-scoring affair, and Odell Beckham Jr. should put up some big numbers. So Odell Beckham Jr., Justin Jefferson are going to be on the same field at different times, but it's going to be very electrifying. I think we're going to see 2 electrifying performances from both of them. My next wide receiver this week, Terry McLaurin at Atlanta. Last week, I had my guy Scary Terry on my duds list. Even though I was right about it, it didn't feel good. I don't like sitting Terry McLaurin, even if you have to. But this week, you don't have to worry about it. It feels much better throwing him back on my dudes list. Last week, Colin Johnson and Kenny Galladay combined for 115 yards and 9 receptions versus the Falcons. Terry can do what those guys do, but he just does it much better. So this is a great matchup for him. Start him up. Finally, Dalton Schultz. Tight end, Dallas Cowboys versus the Carolina Panthers. The Cowboys offense has their opponents' heads spinning, trying to keep up with who they need to stop. Is it Zeke? Is it Pollard? Is it CeeDee Lamb? Is it Amari Cooper? I don't know. Well, Dalton Schultz is just squeaking around, finding holes, and Dak is taking what defenses are giving him. So I'm starting Dalton Schultz this week against the Carolina Panthers. He is a thing, and I do not think he is going away anytime soon. Finally, my duds, or rather my sits for this week. Daniel Jones at New Orleans. Jones has looked decent so far this season, and what elevated him from average to good in fantasy football terms is his ability to scramble. This week, he'll face a stingy New Orleans Saints defense who is good against the pass, but they're also better against the run. So it's just a tough matchup for Danny Dimes. Jared Goff at Chicago. After throwing for around 600 yards and 5 touchdowns in the first 2 weeks, Jared Goff has came back down to earth in week 3. He'll face a tough Chicago defense that knows they need to hold their opponents to a low score if they want a shot at winning. I'm sitting the Ravens backfield at Denver. The Broncos have yet to allow a rusher to go over 50 yards this season. I know we're only on week 4, but still, I think that's pretty. I mean, this is the NFL. No rusher has gone over 50 yards against the Broncos. Last week, I was expecting Tyson to crush it, and he barely got touches. I had him as a start last week. I'll admit it, I was wrong. This Ravens backfield is too much of a mystery, and that Denver defense is too tough against the run. I'm not touching this game. James Robinson at Cincinnati. Prior to week 3, James Robinson had yet to top 10 points in PPR format leagues. Last week, he faced a poor rushing defense, but this week he'll be facing a much tougher opponent. The Bengals held Dalvin Cook. Listen to this stat line. 20 rushes for 61 yards. Then the next week, they held Dave Montgomery to, guess what? 20 rushes for 61 yards. So back-to-back weeks, 20 rushes, 61 yards, and then Najee Harris broke it up. He went 14 for 40. So those aren't very good. I think it was like average 3 yards, 2.9 yards. So I'm benching James Robinson, okay? I'm benching the Steelers wide receivers at the Green Bay Packers. In my opinion, the Steelers stink. You've heard me say that multiple times in the show. And we're watching the corpse of Big Ben try to win football games, and it's just not working for them. This game is going to get ugly quick, and they're not touching any of these Steelers wide receivers. I'm not sure who it's going to be. Claypool did decent last week. Is Deontay Johnson coming back? What are they going to do with Juju Smith-Schuster? Honestly, this week, I think it's probably, if any of them are going to produce, it's Juju. But I don't know. I just don't know, so I'm not touching any of them. I'm sitting DeAndre Hopkins at the Los Angeles Rams. After a strong week one, Hopkins has been trending down. Kyler Murray has been doing a great job of spreading the ball around, and the Cardinals' passing game is looking strong. But Hopkins' fantasy production is suffering. The Rams will be the toughest test the Cardinals' offense has faced this season, and this isn't the week I'm banking on Hopkins bouncing back. Like, it's going to come, but not this week, not against the Rams. Finally, I'm sitting Noah Fant versus Baltimore. With Tim Patrick emerging, Noah Fant is slowly declining. I love the talent, but I'm not very fond of what I've seen from him this season. This week, he'll face a Ravens defense that held Hockenson in check last week. So they did it with Hockenson. I think he's a step above Noah Fant. I think they'll have a good chance of shutting Noah Fant down. So that's my dudes and duds. Again, check out toiletsandtitles.com. You will see it there after Wednesday this week. Justin, some turtle heads, some guys that you feel like are going to break out. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so I'm going to start off with Rashad Bateman. So Rashad Bateman started the season off on IR. He could be back as soon as this week. Things are still kind of up in the air with that, and I don't think that a lot of people are going to be thinking about him. I feel strongly that he's going to end up being a very heavily used wide receiver in that offense. Granted, they don't throw the ball a whole lot in Baltimore. I totally get that. But I do feel like Lamar drops back to throw a lot more than a lot of quarterbacks. He just doesn't actually physically throw the ball a whole lot because it's hard to find a wide open Sammy Watkins because he's Sammy Watkins, and Watkins can no longer get the separation that Bateman can get. So once Bateman comes back, I feel strongly that he's going to be able to get open. You're going to see more passes thrown, and he's going to have the opportunity to be kind of the 1B to Hollywood's 1A. So I think you could probably wait till after waivers run, and most leagues are going to run tonight or tomorrow morning, tomorrow around noon, whatever. After waivers run, you go out and pick up Bateman. I'm talking about redraft. Obviously, if you have them in Dynasty, you've already kept them. But go out and pick up Bateman for free so you don't have to use up a waiver wire on him. But if you're desperate enough, which I don't see why you're that desperate at wide receiver just because there's a lot of wide receivers out there, but – whatever, go ahead and use a waiver on him, but I wouldn't put any fab on him. Just pick him up, get him for free. You might have to hold him for a week or two until he's completely healthy, but it's going to pay off at the end of the season. So that's my main turtle head for today. I do have three guys on here for my honorable mention that I almost selected, but I couldn't decide which one to choose. And that's the three wide receivers for the New England Patriots. Because of the fact that the Bucs are so good against the run and the teams are taking advantage of that Tampa Bay secondary. And right now they're ranked as the worst secondary in the league as far as yards against right now. So, so teams are doing all of their work against Tampa Bay in that secondary. So between Jacoby Myers, Nelson Aguilar, and Kendrick Bourne, right now they only have two touchdowns between the three of them over three games this season. I feel strongly that two of them will each get at least a touchdown this week. I don't know which ones it's going to be, though. You just got to look at your waiver wire and just kind of get a feel, a vibe for who you would want to go after. Personally, for me, it's going to be Kendrick Bourne for more of the red zone opportunity, or Jacoby Myers, just because he seems like he's got a pretty good rapport with Mac Jones right now. But Nelson Aguilar is the one that has the pedigree, so I wouldn't be upset if he chose Nelson Aguilar out of that group. But between the three of them, I think all three of them are going to have a decent game. But we're talking about guys that you're picking up off the waiver wire to throw in there and try to get touchdowns right now. So so I think two of the three of them will get a score.
All right, I have an honorable mention this week, and that's Colin Johnson, the wide receiver for the New York Giants. Johnson came back this week, so his first week was week three. He was targeted seven times. which was the most out of all the New York Giants wide receivers this week. So Johnson was out week 1 and 2, and immediate impact in his first appearance says a lot to me. It says there's, especially since he came from Jacksonville, so he wasn't even a Giant. So it's not like Daniel Jones had a lot of time with this guy. It's like they're clicking immediately. Time to add him to your roster before he becomes a consistent playmaker for the Giants. If Kenny G goes down, like if Galladay goes down for a significant amount of time, I think his stock is going to rise immediately, because we know Shepard, Slayton, Tony, like they're all those kind of gadget, you know, slot, you know, little guy speedsters. Colin Johnson fits more in that Kenny Galladay, you know, physical, big outside wide receiver role. So he's like the X, the natural X. And I think that there's an opportunity. You can put him on the bench and we could see an uptick. All right. We got a question from the Second Take Extra. Would you trade away DJ Moore and get Godwin and Kenny Galladay? My wide receivers right now are Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Allen Robinson, and Jalen Waddle. So, well, your wide receivers right now are DJ Moore, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Allen Robinson, and Waddle. I don't think I'd do the trade. I don't think you need to. Now, if you were weak at running back or if you were weak at tight end, and say you got Godwin and a decent tight end or a decent, like a running back two or a flex, I'd consider doing it. But what's the point of getting two guys that are, you know, Godwin's, you know, he's got, I like Chris Godwin, don't get me wrong, but I think his ceiling is a little lower than DJ Moore's ceiling. So you already got that guy with DJ Moore, Tyreek Hill, and Justin Jefferson. And then with A-Rob and Waddle on the bench, I mean, those are your three. Like, why mess with that? What are your thoughts?
If you don't make the trade, DJ Moore, Tyreek, and Jefferson are your dynamic starting three wide receivers. If you do make the trade, you take a bump back from DJ Moore to Godwin. Now you have to decide if you're going to start Godwin or A-Rob. So you're taking a hit at wide receiver just to get more depth at an already solid wide receiving core. So absolutely not. The only way I might consider it is if you're really trying to make some moves here and you're trying to flip Godwin to a guy that you know is a big Bucs fan or a big Godwin fan. But even then, I think I want more from this trade.
Yep. Or just different. Give me like a different position. Like, you know, I don't need wide receiver. You know, give me Godwin plus somebody else.
That I'm not going to give up a consistent 1,000-yard wide receiver for especially one that now has a quarterback that that is targeting him a lot and is actually a decent quarterback. People don't want to believe it yet, but Sammy Darnold is a decent quarterback now.
We're going to see. We're going to learn this week. We got Dallas Cowboys, Carolina Panthers without Christian McCaffrey. So Darnold cut us to pieces last time he played us when he was with the Jets, man. He torched the Cowboys. He looked like the second coming of Peyton Manning. So this one's a little personal. Let's see if the Cowboys take it that way. All right, slow your roll. Players we aren't yet sold on. So I kind of cheated because, you know, the players we aren't yet sold on, it's been like last week I said Derek Carr, you know, just a guy who I'm waiting to see more from. But what I'm slowing my roll on, come with me on this one, this week, what I'm slowing my roll on is the fact that the Washington football team defense is bad. All right. I'm not there yet. All right. They played well in week one and things just have gotten out of hand since then. They face the Falcons this week, and I think they get it back together. Like, they get the train back on the rails against the terrible Falcons team that somehow beat the New York Giants. And I think after this, Washington football team defense is going to be back. So I'm slowing my roll on the fact that the Washington football team defense is bad. Justin, what are you slowing your roll on?
So I'm slowing my roll on the Denver Broncos, the 3-0 Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos are 3-0. You got to hand it to them. They're 3-0 against three dynamite powerhouse teams called the Jets, the Giants, and the Jaguars that are a combined 0-9 right now. So great job. Bravo, Broncos.
Man, how do you get that lucky to face the three teams you face, like combined to be 0-9?
Right. I mean, they're about to get exposed soon enough. And honestly, over the course of the rest of the season, I see maybe four or five more winnable games for them, and even then I'm not super stoked about it, but I'm more worried about the fantasy football relevance of this, because when you're facing the Jets, the Jags, and the Giants in the first 3 weeks, you're going to get that false sense of security from some of these guys, and not that anybody on their team has given dynamite performances in fantasy, but they've been pretty solid for the most part. And you're going to kind of expect that when you get that week in and week out. Now, when they start to face tougher opponents, you're going to see less less time on the field, so less ball possession time, worse field position. It can definitely affect your fantasy players, and I feel like it's going to drop drastically. So now would be the time to try to sell as many Broncos as you can possibly sell, especially since I don't think, and I know Nate's not going to want to hear this, but your Teddy Two Gloves is not going to be able to keep that starting job for too much longer once the seams start to come apart. Drew Lock is waiting in the wings. Drew Lock at the end of the season last year was having fun and playing football like a kid out there on the football field. You can't take that away from that guy. You know he's been fighting hard to try to get that spot back. I don't think he was great by any means, but I don't think he deserved to have the role taken away from him, and I'm sure he's going to have that chip on his shoulder as well.
Man, I when I heard that Rodgers might be going to the Broncos, I bet that the Broncos will have more than 8.5 wins this season. Man, like they're already 3-0. Just give me six more somehow. just get me six more. I don't care if they look good doing it.
Well, I said 4 or 5.
Right, which gets me to 8. Which is still a half a game less than what I need. Yeah. So they need to maybe they start stinking for a little bit, put Lock in, he gets him a few wins. But all right, Nate is slowing his roll on the 3-0 Raiders. So sorry, Rich. They squeaked by a Dolphins team with Brissett, who Nate said is better than Tua, but Nate is saying looks like he might stink. The Chargers are on fire and they're rolling. He doesn't think that train is slowing down anytime soon. So last week I was slowing my roll on Derek Carr, and this week Nate is slowing his roll on the Raiders. So we got to be made believers, Rich. If they're going to do it, it's going to be done this week. All right. They got to show us. Okay. So now, my favorite segment. At this time next week, we'll be saying, last week I said that at this time next week, we'll be saying that the Chiefs better shape up because they're in trouble. And the Chiefs went and they lost again, and they better shape up because they're in trouble. This week, I am saying, we're going to be saying next week, rather. This week, I am saying what we'll be saying next week is the NFC West is the most exciting division in the NFL. I mean, we're getting 49ers against the Seahawks. We're getting Cardinals against the Rams. That is some great playoff football here in October. So I'm looking forward to that. Justin, what do you think we'll be saying at this time next week?
So I have down that I'm dropping the Washington football team defense after this week. So kind of the opposite of what you were saying earlier, but they would have to have an incredible game against the Jets, which is exactly what everybody's expecting to happen.
No, it's the Falcons.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Falcons. Same thing.
Whatever.
Yeah. Same thing. So they would need to have an incredible game this week against the Falcons. And that's exactly what everybody's expecting to happen. Right. But it seems like the last 3 weeks, everybody has expected a heck of a lot more than what we've gotten from the Washington football team. So like, even if they have a decent game and an okay game or fantasy points wise, they give you some decent points, but they still just look like not a great dominating defense that completely shuts down the Falcons. You're going to think that they're not as good as you thought they were when you drafted them, and you're going to be disappointed for a fourth week in a row. So a lot of people are going to feel jaded for the last time, and they're going to finally drop the Washington football team defense. And then you're going to go out and you're going to start streaming defenses from week to week like you probably should have done all along instead of drafting a defense so high.
All right, Nate's is like, this is a long one, so bear with me. Nate's, what he's saying at this time next week we'll be saying is a lot. Here's what he's saying. This is what we'll be saying. Week 4 came and went, and more coaches showed their incompetence with situational football. The Packers lose to the Niners if they don't kick the ball out of the end zone and give Rodgers 37 seconds from the 25. You kick it inbounds and it takes 5 to 7 seconds off the clock. Can't fair catch a kickoff in the NFL. Those few seconds were the difference in that game. Stop bombing it through the end zone and not taking time off the clock when you're only up by 7 or less, especially if a field goal can tie or beat you. Yeah, That was hard to get through, man. I need a cup of water. Justin, wake up. We got to wrap this thing up.
Oh, we're done?
All right, guys. Everyone, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Join our Patreon, patreon.com/thoughtsandtitles. We would love to have you in our Discord chat. It's $3 a month to get in there. 24/7 access to all of us, all of your fantasy football questions, start sit questions, trade advice, lineup setting advice, all of that. You have us. $3. Get in there. Subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. That's a great thing. You can get into all of our episodes. Hit the bell so you know when we go live, so you can chat and you can comment during the episodes. We can answer you there as well. It's a great community, and we enjoy having you a part of it. So please subscribe so you can be here when we go live. We have like 8 episodes a week. Wednesday nights, we have Joe recapping the last week's games. We have Dollars to Deuces with Nate and Rich, which is a betting show. Thursday night, we do a dash of DFS from 7:45 to 8:20. We talk about all of our DFS strategies for the week and our lineups. We go live right until kickoff. Saturday is Down Under Dynasty with Matt and Ben. Sunday morning, Joe recaps the college football games from Saturday night and previews the NFL games from that Sunday. And then we have the Blitz with Justin, Mike, and Alex, where they're doing all start sit questions from you guys from 10:30. So I want to say about 12 o'clock. The more people in there, the longer they go. So they are ready for you. Justin, do you have anything to say to the listeners before we wrap this thing up, man?
Yeah, so there are some of you out there that might really enjoy listening to Dollars to Deuces. Maybe you really like what the guys on Dollars to Deuces have to say about the gambling stuff, and maybe you can't really be a Patreon supporter right now to get into the chat, because I mean, times are tough right now. We completely understand that. Just the fact that you're listening means a lot to us. But if you wanted to reach out directly to one of those guys, you've got their Twitter handles right down there at the bottom. Feel free to directly contact any of us, and we're gonna help you out as best we can. And of course, we're gonna keep steering you any direction that we possibly can in the right direction. But at the end of the day, we're here to try to help you win fantasy football games.
All right, well, everybody, I hope you have a good evening. I hope you have a good week. I hope your fantasy football teams do well and all of your football dreams come true. We'll be here same time next week. We'll catch you later on.